Begin the current daf, Masech de Bava Basra, Kuf Ayin Aleph. We begin 6 lines down from the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which we had a machlekes in our Mishnah regarding if someone pays up half of his debt of the loan, what do you do with the remaining debt? Rabbi Yehuda says, you write a new document, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the lender keeps the old document, but you write a receipt for the borrower. On that, the Gemara quoted Rabbi saying, Allah is not like Rabbi Yehuda and not like Rabbi Yehuda. On that, the Gemara had said that what was said to Rav Huna, that if Rav had heard of the Braisa, which was quoting Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, he would have agreed that the law is like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda was saying the same thing as him. They both, Rav's opinion was that the courts tear it up and they write a new document from the remaining debt, from the original date. And Rabbi Yehuda says the same thing in the Braisa. To which the Gemara answered that no, Rav disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda because yes, although Rabbi Yehuda is saying just like him that you write a new document from the original date, Rav was saying that it has to be through the courts, and Rabbi Yehuda was saying it could even be through the witnesses, and on that Rav disagreed and held that the witnesses don't have that authority to do that, to write a new document from the original date. Now the Gemara just clarifies and says, my Braisa, what was this Braisa? In other words, what's the larger context? We only quoted a small snippet of it in the previous daf, which was being used on the question on Rav. What is the larger context of this Braisa of Rav Nachman, which was quoting this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in his Machlekes with Rabbi Yosi at greater length in the Braisa? So the Gemara says, the Tanakh, learn the Braisa. The same case as our Mishnah. If someone was collecting from someone else 1,000 zuz, let's say he loaned them 1,000 zuz. And he already paid him back 500 of that. So, Eidim Mekarnes Ashtar, the witnesses tear up the old document. And the witnesses go ahead and write for him a new document from the earlier date. And as we had quoted this part on the previous stuff. So the Braisa continues, which is the same achlik as they have in our Mishnah. He says, no, you maintain the old document, but and as he's recorded in our Mishnah, you write a receipt on half or whatever amount he had paid already, you give that to the borrower. And says Rabbi Yosi, there's actually two rationales, why they said that instead of tearing it up, you actually write a receipt for the borrower. Achas, one of them is Kadesha Yachav, so that the lender could be able to pressure and force the borrower, Lepayroi, to pay him up, because he's going to be worried constantly, saying, wait a second, do I still have that receipt? Do I still have the receipt? Because if not, the lender is going to be able to use his document and collect all the debt, even though I already paid up. So that's one motivational reason. Va'achas is Kadesha Yigvim, as Man Rishon. Another reason why you maintain the old document is because if you wrote a new document, you would have to write a new date, and then the lender would lose out all those months in the interim, which he's going to lose being able to collect from incumbent properties or whoever bought from the borrower after that first date. It makes sense to hold on to the original document that he could collect from the first date, but then the original document says $1,000. Okay, write a receipt for the borrower of $500. Those are the two reasons why Rabbi Yosi says we do write a receipt. Now, on that, as to Gemara, how could Rabbi Yosi say the second reason why you write a receipt is so that he could collect from the first date? But Rabbi Yehuda nami mizman rishon kamer. Rabbi Yehuda himself also says, like Rabbi Yosi, that you also, when you rewrite the new document, it's with the earlier dates, the early document's date. So what response is Rabbi Yosi saying, oh, I'll tell you the second reason why you write a receipt, because of the first date? What do you mean? Rabbi Yehuda also agrees you collect from the first date. That says the Gemara, Hachi Kamalei Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda. This is what Rabbi Yisrael was telling Rabbi Yehuda here, as it's quoted in the Braisa. That is, Rabbi Yehuda didn't explain his words so lengthily. Rather, as it's quoted in our Mishnah, he just told Rabbi Yisrael, no, you don't write a receipt, but rather, Yachl, if you go ahead and you switch and make a new document, a new shtar. And that is, so Rabbi Yisrael responded to Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, look, I'm not sure what you're saying, but Imizman Rishon Karmet, if you're saying that the new document that you're saying should be written will have the original date, so, then I'm only disagreeing with you on one point. Because I hold that you don't write a new document, rather you write a receipt, and that's because of the first reason that he gave was because as a motivational, as for him to be able to want to pay up, that he doesn't have to always constantly check to make sure he still has the receipt. Now, however, that's only if you hold it from the Zman HaRishon. But if you're saying that the new document that's written is written as normally would sound like, and actually that was the point Rav had contested with Rabbi Yehuda, where if the witnesses are doing it, they'd be writing the current date when you're writing the new document, not the earlier date when the loan was, well then plig nalach patarti. That's what Rabbi Yehuda was saying. Then I disagree with you on 2 points. First of all, that you write a receipt, and moreover, that the collection will be not from the new date, but from the old date. But you're right, the way it's recorded in that Braisa, then he's only disagreeing with 1 point, and it was unnecessary for him saying the second reason. It's just that Rabbi Yehuda didn't clarify, so he didn't know if he was saying from his Zman Rishon or only from his Zman Sheni. Now the Gemara brings another machloikis between these two opinions, Rabbi Yisi and Rabbi, these two Tanoim, Rabbi Yisi and Rabbi Yehuda, which will relate back to their machloikis in our Mishnah. Tarabon Luna Braisa. Shtar Shazmane Kasa B'Shabbos. Regarding a document, that the date on the document says that this loan or whatever it was took place on Shabbos. Oy Basar B'Tishrei. Or it comes out to be on the 10th of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. So how's that possible? Jews are not doing transactions, writing documents on Shabbos or Yom Kippur. It would be, for example, in places when they calculate according to the solar, the secular calendar. And they write in the document that it was the 15th of, let's say, September, some solar calendar. Now, but when we go and we do the check between the Hebrew and the solar calendar and we figure out, so what was the 15th of September, we find out that that day turns out to be a Shabbos or it comes out to be the 10th of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. Now, everybody knows that Jews are not writing documents on Shabbos or Yom Kippur. So it comes out, it must have been that it's obvious from this document that it wasn't written on the date that it was written. Either it was a predated document, and then it would be posel, which we'll quote a braisa, it says shtar muktam is posel, or it was a post-dated document, which is kosher. So it says the first opinion, shtar mu'uchahu b'kosher, it's obviously a post-dated document, which is kosher. That's the Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that any post-dated document is kosher, even a document which is not intrinsically obvious in the document that it was post-dated or not. Now, for sure, in such a case where the date turns out to be Shabbos or Yom Kippur, where then the date itself indicates and proves that it was a post-dated document, because Ibn Rabbi Yisi, as we're going to shortly quote, even he himself really agrees that in such a situation, when it's obvious it was post-dated, that it won't come out to be any problems. Now, moreover, says Rashbam, well, okay, you know it wasn't on that date, but how do you know it's Me'ucher and Kosher? Maybe it was a predated document, which is possible. And that says Rashbam, no, because as we pass in like Rish Lakish and Ksubas Yitchasim Abayis, when you have witnesses that are signed on a document, we generally assume it's almost as if they were verified in court that what they're saying is true. It's just that rabbinically they required the verification of a document. So obviously, when you have over here a document, which it's not the date that's written on it, and there's someone who wants to come, the defendant of the document wants to come and that wants to void that document, we say that, no, it retains its chazakah that it's kosher, has a kosher, because it must be a shtar mocher. So the one who's claiming that it's shtar muktim, he has to bring the proof that it's unlike that, because our general assumption is that it's a kosher document. Now, couldn't have been that date, so it would be shtar mocher and not a shtar muktim. So says Rabbi Yehuda, such a document is going to be kosher. Rabbi Yisi says that a generic post-dated document, which, as the Gemara will explain, he's going on the case of when it's not in obvious from the document that it was post-dated, that it's going to be void. Now, Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, however, responds back to Rabbi Yisi, he says, wait a second, you say Shtam Ochar is possible? There was an incident that came in front of you in Tzipayri regarding a post-dated document, and you validated it. Amalei Rabbi Yisi responds back to Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Kishach Sharte, when I validated it, it was Bezeh. It was regarding such a type of a document which the date was written that it came out to be on Shabbos Yom Kippur. That's when they said that it's kosher, because since it's intrinsically obvious that it wasn't written on this date, because Jews don't write documents on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, and everyone's going to therefore understand and realize that it was a post-dated document, which hence, therefore, as the Gemara will explain later, will not cause any problems monetarily that will be unethical. Therefore, that's why I said it's kosher. But by a generic post-dated document, which the date was written on the date that could have been written on that date, and it's not obvious from the document itself if it was post-dated or not, that's why I disagree with you and I say it's going to be puzzle, as the Gemara has explained the reasoning for that. Now, the Gemara first asks and clarifies in the Braisa, what is Rabbi Yisrael responding to Rabbi Huda? That I only made it kosher in such a case, bezeh, but Rabbi Yehuda Nami bezeh come. Rabbi Yehuda was also talking about such a case. That's what the Bryce was talking about. As if the date is on Shabbos or Aser B'Tishrei, which is post-date, is kosher, B'Yisi also holds that bezeh, that's where it's kosher. So what's his machalikis to Rabbi Yehuda? So Amr Pedasi says as follows. He says, Hakol Maidim, everyone agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, B'Yisi, regarding any post-dated document that is in such a situation, that if we analyze the date on the document, where although it's a secular date, we go and we check up, comes out that that date had would be then on Shabbos or on the 10th of Tishrei, says Reb Das, everyone agrees that that would be a post-dated document that according to everyone would be kosher, because that would be almost as if it was written in the document, as if it said in the Aramaic as follows. This document was written not in the date that it says on the document, rather we're testifying that it was post-dated and that's how we wrote it. The reason why this document is considered like that, because everybody knows that we don't write, that a document's not going to be written on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, and they're going to recognize that it must be post-dated, and therefore it's not going to cause any problems, as we'll explain what the problem could be. So therefore, what Rapidus is saying is that everyone agrees regarding this document, where the case of the Braisa, when it was written that the date would be on Shabbos, that's kosher, and that's what Rapidus was saying, Bezeh Sharti. So what is their machlokes then? So as we continue to Medbeis, lo nechel ko elu b'shtam ucher bi'alma. The disagreement is regarding a generic post-dated document, which the date turns out to be a regular weekday, and therefore it's not inherently obvious if it's post-dated or not. So what's the machlokes? Why does Rabbi Huda say it's kosher and Rabbi Huda say it's pasul? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Huda says that it's kosher, is l'tam mei. Because according to his opinion, it parallels with what he says in our Mishnah. Damat, he says, in Kaisman Shaver, he said, as we recorded, says you don't write receipts. What happens if someone pays up or someone loses, you go ahead and you rewrite a document, but there's no receipts. Now, so therefore, as we'll explain shortly on Rabbi Yossi's part where he explains what the problem would be, according to Rabbi Huda, there is no problem. We're not concerned whether if a document was post-dated or if it's written on the date that it says inside of it. The truth is always going to be that the borrower is never going to pay up to get a receipt. He doesn't take receipts. It's not the halacha. Until he gets the document from the lender and tears it up. Once he tears it up, there's nothing to be concerned about, as we'll explain. And there's not going to be any destructive aspects that's going to come out of this. So therefore, a shtar mocha, even if it's not obvious a shtar mocha, but since we don't run into the problem of shtar muktim, you can post-date it, as we'll explain shortly, it's just a loss for the lender. There's nothing wrong. It's not going to come to do misappropriate. It's going to be kosher. But Rabbi Yossi that says that a post-dated document where it's not obvious if it's post-dated is going to be possible is l'tamei. He's going according to his shita that's mentioned in our Mishnah, the Amar Kaisvin Sheber, that he says that we do write a receipt where if, let's say, the borrower paid up part of the debt, or same thing if, let's say, he paid up all the debt, but the lender claims, I'm sorry, I lost the document, I can't give it back to you. So the halacha is that we write a receipt and we give it to the borrower so that he can notify and he can show that he paid up all the debt, even if, let's say, the lender would later on find it and say, want to collect with that. Now, so that's why Reb Yossi says a shtar mo'ocher is going to be possible. Why? Because v'nafik min achurva. There's going to be a destructive element that might come out of this. Why? Because what could happen is that the lender could then produce at a later point in time, if, let's say, he still has the document, whether because whatever the reason that we gave the receipt to the borrower, whether because he paid half, or whether because he claimed that he lost it. Either way, the document says more than what's owed to him. He could do as follows. That afterwards, he could go ahead and produce this document, this loan document, that has a post-dated date, which is later than the date of the receipt itself. And he's going to say, this is other monies that you borrowed from me at a later point in time. And he's going to be able to collect now the entire debt that was written on it, because it's not obvious in the document that it was post-dated. But the reason why Rabbi Yossi agrees in the case of a document that the date comes out to be Shabbos or the 10th of Tishrei is because then the lender cannot claim, oh, this was a new one, this was written now, because we know the document is not written on Yom Kippur or on Shabbos. So when it's obvious that it's post-dated, then we say, no, this wasn't written then. This must have been the old one, which the guy you already wrote a receipt. But when it doesn't say, then we suspect that he's going to go ahead and produce at a later point in time this document. So if, let's say in Tishrei is when the loan happens, and then the Thomas, he pays him up. Problem is, since the date is Nisan, he's going to go ahead and produce and say, yeah, this is not the Tishrei loan. Tishrei loan you paid up. This is a Nisan one. And that's what it says in the document. So since you might come to run into problems, again, only because Rabbi Yossi holds that you do write a receipt, which means to say the lender could hold on to the old document, that's why, according to his opinion, you run into the problem, in contrast to Rabbi Huda, because he says, there's no problem with Shtar Me'ocher, because anyways, the lender doesn't get hold on to the old document, so there's no problem of this concern. Now, Amrav Huna B'Rei Rabbi Yeshua, he qualifies, and this is an independent statement, going on the previous topic, that he says, even according to the opinion that says that we do write receipts, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yisi in our Mishnah, that, he says, is only on half the debt, which is when he pays up half, that's when you go ahead and you write a receipt, because we're concerned that maybe the lender is going to go and collect all the debt. Avla kule, but regarding if he pays up all the debt, then loy. Then we don't write a receipt for the borrower and let the lender get away with that. Rather, we say that that's a loss that the lender caused himself because he wasn't careful to protect his document. Meaning when he was careful, just that the borrower only pays up half, so okay, the lender doesn't have to lose out. You pay me the whole thing, I'll give you back the document. I might collect the whole thing, fine, I'll give you a receipt. But when it's the lender's own problem that he lost it, but the borrower paid up the whole thing, then we don't write receipts, and then the borrower doesn't have to pay up until he gives him the document. To which the Gemara responds back and says, well, actually, the halacha is not like the way of Hun Beit Divishu was saying. Rather, afila kulik hasvin, even on the whole document, we do write a receipt for the borrower, and he's required to pay up. Ki hadar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, as we find, to have a masik bezuzi bar Baba, he was trying to collect money from Rabbaba. Asla kamid Reb Chanin bar Papi, came in front of Reb Chanin bar Papi, and Amalei, he said to him, havli zuzi, give me my money. So Amalei, so Rabbaba responded back, he says, havli shtaroi v'shakol zuzach, give me my document, I'll give you the money. So Amalei said to him, I'm sorry, shtarcha irkisli, I lost your document. Which, as Rashbam says, the same thing would be, even if he didn't lose it, if he paid up half the debt. But this is what we're coming to say, that even if he lost it, and it's on the whole thing, still he says, okay, I lost it, but I'll write you a receipt. Give me the money, I'll write you a receipt. So Amalei, Rabbaba said back to him, but Harav Shmuel Damer Tavayu, but we have both Rav and Shmuel, that they say, in Kais Mitzvah, we don't write a receipt. I want the document. I'll pay you the whole thing if you give me the document. So Amalei, he responded back to him, Man Yohav Lon Me'afrid Rav Shmuel. He's not putting down Rav Shmuel. He says, who would give us the dust of Rav and Shmuel, and Ramina Ba'ini will put in our eyes. But don't prove to me from Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, Damer Tavayu, Kais Mitzvah, but I could quote you Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, that they say that you do write receipts. And that we do write receipts. And therefore, even though it's on the whole thing, and that's what the Gemara is coming to prove, not like the Rav Hun Beit Divishu had said, even regarding the whole thing, he was saying that we do write a receipt, even though it was the negligence, so to speak, of the lender that he lost the document. And continues the Gemara and says, "Umistaber the Kais Ben Sheva," and it's logical to say that we do write a receipt, even on the whole debt, even where it was that the lender who had lost the document. Why? If you would assume in that case that we don't write a receipt, well then Ovid Shtarish all that, then let's say the lender loses the document as the case was just illustrated, Yechel Halav Achadi, so then what, the borrower could just rejoice and consume the lender's money for free and not have to pay up because he lost the document? Well, we know that he lent him the money, and what, until he finds the document the borrower doesn't have to pay up? Doesn't make sense. Definitely makes sense that he has to pay up, he'll just write him a receipt, even though the lender lost the document. Now, Maskev Labai, but Abai responded and asked back on that logic. He says, wait, Ve'elamai Kaisin Shebe, so what are you trying to prove? Doesn't make sense that the borrower should just be able to go, oh, okay, fine, you don't have the document, I'm not paying you back the $1 million, because I know I owe you, but until you give me back the document, that doesn't make sense. So says Abai, so what are you saying? So we write a receipt? But then the other way, would be the logic could be said in the reverse too. Let's say the borrower loses the receipt. So then the lender is going to be able to consume all the borrower's money and rejoice, but he's going to collect with him again. So why should we require the onus on the borrower? If he loses the receipt, then although he paid it up, the lender will be able to collect the second time. Rav spins back to the question of Abai and says, in, yes, that is logical. Because as the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Eved Leivel Ishmael, but the borrower is a slave, is a servant to the man who lends him, meaning it's better for the effort and the worry of the protection of the documentation to be on the borrower more than the lender, because the lender is the one that's doing all the favor, and therefore it is, like we said, that we would write a shaver even on the whole thing, because we don't want the lender to lose, what, because he lost the document, he lost the whole loan, he's not going to get paid back? No, it makes sense that we write a receipt, and yet, yeah, let the borrower worry and protect him, because anyways, he's the one that gets the whole gain, he's the slave, he's the servant to the lender. And continuing on this theme regarding shtar me'ucher, says the Gemara, it's non-hasam. We learned over there in the Mishnah and Seyed Israelim in the last parak of Masech the Shviyas as follows. Shtari chayv hamukdamin, regarding a predated document. So for example, if let's say they were writing the document now on the 1st of Iyar. But in the document, they wrote the date a month earlier, the 1st of Nisan. Says the Mishnah, psulun. So then that document is invalid. And the reason for that is because what happens is that the one who, let's say, loan the money, if at that point in time, once the loan takes effect, all the properties of the borrower, there's a lien on it. If anyone buys from those properties and the borrower defaults, he could collect from them. Now, if you're writing a month early, he's going to end up collecting from those who bought after Nisan, even though the loan didn't happen until the year, and that's inappropriate. So that invalidates the document. And as Rashbam brings, even from the second date, meaning the real date, even then they can't collect, as the Gemara says in Ezer Neshachim, but Metziyam Bezam and Aleph, which is a Gezer Drabana, because he might end up collecting from the first date, so we don't let you use that document at all. It's totally invalid. He can't use it to collect from Lekuchis, even from what the real date was, which was the first of the year. But says the Mishnah, Vamucharen, but a post-dated document, let's say it was being written on the first of Nisan, but in the document they actually wrote it a month later, the first of Iyar, or for sure, if let's say the loan was in Nisan, but the document wasn't written itself until the first of Iyar, then Kasherin, then the document's going to be kosher, because if anything, it's just that the lender is being forgiving regarding the lien of the past month, where although he was allowed to have a lien, okay, we'll start the lien a month later. So that's no problem. And therefore, Shtam Ocher is going to be kosher. On this Mishnah, Amar Avamnun, he qualifies and he says, Loi Shana, we didn't learn that a post-dated document of get a Shtar Me'uch is going to be kosher. Says Rav Avamnun, that was only taught El Shtari Halva, only if it's a loan document. Because as we had said earlier, that we explained Rabbi Yehuda L'Tamei, that he said in our Mishnah that we don't write a receipt, and therefore we said that a Shtar Me'uch is not going to be problematic and it's not going to come out to be a Churva, as the Gemara will later on prove, Rav Avamnun holds also like Rabbi Yehuda, that we don't write receipts. And therefore, there's nothing to be concerned about. As we explained for Behuda, that if you don't write a receipt, there's no problem about him then producing the unidentified post-dated document at a later point in time to collect the second time. So therefore, it says Rav Avinu, that halacha of shtar me'ucha, that is kasha, like it was only said regarding a shtar hava, like we explained Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Avashtari mekecha memcha, but regarding documents of a sale, says Rav Avinu, afilu mucharin nami psulin, then even the post-dated document would be puzzled, just like we said, a shtar muktim would be puzzled, but for a different reason. Maitam, what's the reason? Because of the following concern. Zimnin demazvanle, at times you could have the problem, the following problem, that Reuven would be selling Ara, a piece of land, to Shimon, benisan, in the month of Nisan, with the condition, with the stipulation that if Shimon ever has money, he'll give him back, he'll sell it back to him. Now, but when they write the date of the document verifying the sale, the chasav lay, so Reuven, they write over there that Reuven sold the field to Shimon b'tishrei, meaning they post-dated, although the sale was in Nisan, they posted and write that it took place in Tishrei. Now, the following problem could happen. As we said, that he agreed to sell it back to him if he ever has the money. So he ends up getting the money. So then Reuven goes back and buys the field back from Shimon in Tammuz in the summertime. Now, when he then goes and asks Shimon for the documentation back, the deed, the Shtar Mikna, Shimon says, I'm sorry, I lost it. Now, on this point, Rashbam points out, which is an important point, even according to Rav Avinu, according to the opinion that holds that we don't usually write a receipt, he would agree that he would have to write a receipt. Because what would Shimon lose if Reuven doesn't redeem his field? To the contrary, he wants to hold on to the field. But Reuven wants to buy it back. I'm sorry, I don't have the deed anymore. So he has no choice but to accept a receipt in place of the original deed. Now, so therefore, even if Shimon's going to write for Reuven a receipt that Reuven had redeemed his field back in the month of Tammuz, what Shimon's going to be able to do, he's going to be able to go ahead and produce that old document that really took place in Nisan, but the date was post-dated to Tishrei, and v'chimati Tishrei, when Tishrei time rolls around, mapikle, he's going to then produce it, and he's going to tell to Reuven, yeah, after you redeemed your field back from me, you then sold it back to me, and look, here's a document showing that I bought it from you now. So although we know in Nisan I bought it from you, and Tishrei you bought it back from me, but look, here it says, in this current date, that I bought it from you. And since we could run into that problem, Shtar Me'ucher, by Mekach Memcha, therefore that's going to be possible. Now, the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, Shtar Halva Nami, then even a loan document, and actually this was the point we pointed out earlier on the Amud regarding Rabbi Yosi, that he said that a Shtar Me'ucher is possible by Shtar Halva because of this exact problem, where it's going to be the same concern you have with Shtar Mekach, you're going to have over here by Shtar Halva. Because as the following example illustrates, Zimnin de Yazav ben Nisan, this is exactly what we said the concern was for Biesi. It could happen that someone borrows money in Nisan, but B'chassav Leishtar B'Tishrei is going to write that, post-dated, 6 months later, he's going to write that the loan was in Tishrei. So again, there's no concern for Lekuchis, to the contrary, if anything, that the lender is being forgiving on all that lien. But there is the following problem. because in Misramalei Zuzi Beni Beni Uparalei, because it could be in the meantime of those 6 months that the borrower ends up getting money, ends up paying up the debt. V'amalei Havshti Roi, he's going to tell the lender, okay, give me back the document that I owe you this amount of money. V'amalei Irkisle, he's going to tell, I'm sorry, I lost it. So V'chasalei Tarvis, he's going to write for him a receipt instead. But the chimati zamne mapik lebu, it's going to come out to be that six month period. It's going to end up becoming Tishrei. Then the lender is going to produce the loan document. V'amalein is going to say, oh hani hashtuhu diyazv minoy. This is other monies. Yeah, the other loan you paid up. But look, here's the documentation that shows that you borrowed from me right now. What you paid me was from a different thing, and you're going to run into that problem. So why does Rav Nuna say Shama Ucher is only going to be possible by Mekir Memker? If that's the case, then that same concern should apply by Shtar Halva too. How explain this halacha, the Mishnah, that Shtari Mucher Kasher by Shtari Halva? And that says the Gemara, as we alluded to this before, Kesaver in case bin Shaver. Rav Nuna holds, like Rabbi Huda, that we don't write a receipt. And that's why, as we explained from Yehuda, a Shtam Ucher is going to be kasher because he never run into that problem because he's never going to have written a Shaver and then produce the old document because he's never paying him until he gets that Shaver. Again, in contrast to Shtar Mekech, we said we're there, he has no choice because who cares? So he's not going to buy it back. He wants to buy it, but he has no choice but to accept the receipt. That's where the problem is going to be, and therefore Shtam Ucher is going to be puzzled by Shtar Mekech and not by Shtar Avo, because by Shtar Avo you don't have the whole situation because there is no receipt to have the original document to then produce it with this post-dated date. Amalei Rav Yirmir l'Rav Kahana, v'amri lo, and some say Rav Yirmir midifti l'Rav Kahana, he said as follows, v'idna, but current days, the chasvina shtar mocher, where we write post-dated documents, the chasvina tavra, and we do write receipts. In other words, we're obviously not concerned for the problem that Rabbi Yisi had mentioned. On that, the question is, amai kavdinachi, why do we do this? This is seemingly just like Rabbi Yisi. Rabbi Yisi said, if you write a receipt, then you run into the problem if you have an unidentified post-dated document, as we just explained that case. So they were asking this question, so how do we do this? We do post-dated documents that are not obvious that they're post-dated, yet we write receipts, and then you can run into that problem. So Malehi said, because we take care of the problem a different way. Basid the Amalhu Reb Abba Lasafri, after this, that Reb Abba said to his scribes, that ki kasvisu shtar mu'uchari kasbu hachi, we take care of the problem because he said that when you write a post-dated document, you have to write as follows. Shtar dinan, our document, loy bizmane kasve, kasvine, we're not writing it in its appropriate date. Elachrino, v'kasvine, we're writing it later than what it's written on the date on the top. Then you don't run into any problems. Because since in the document itself, it shows, it indicates, it's saying clearly that it's post-dated, so then it's just like the document that we said, which comes out to be on Shabbos or the 10th of Tishrei, which we said that it's going to be kosher, both according to Yehuda and Rabbi Yisi, because since we know that it's a post-dated document, it's not going to come out to be any problems, because the receipt is showing that it was paid up. Because although the receipt has an earlier date, that's not a problem, because we wrote in the document already that's the post-dated document, and it's as if it's written inside of it that we're testifying that we post-dated, and even Rabbi Yisi would say it's kosher, so therefore there's no problem, even according to Rabbi Yisi, even according to what we do, that we write post-dated, unidentified post-dated documents, and we use the system of receipts. But the Gemara continues asking, but what do we do but that today we don't even do that? Rather, we write a shtar ma'ocher, and we write receipts, and we don't write in the documents that we were ichrina v'kesvina, that we posted and wrote it. And even so, for some reason, we're not concerned for this problem that Rabbi Yisi said, which we so eloquently illustrated, that could be problematic, that the lender is going to be that is going to do this unethical collection at a later time. So in that, the Gemara says, oh, we still take care of it in a different way. How so? Because Basid Amalei Rav Safa L'Safrei, after the Rav Safa told to his scribes that the following thing, that takes care of the problem, which is, Ki kasvisu hani tarvi, when you write these receipts, iya de'isu zimne d'shtar, if you know the date of the original document, meaning whatever that is, kasvu, write that into the receipt. In other words, this guy paid up this person that debt from that document which had that date written on it. Then you don't run into any mischievous problems, any trickery, because even if it would be a post-dated document, but the receipt is clearly indicating whatever date that document says, that is the document that's paid up. So therefore, that's going to take care of it. And even more, Eloi, and even if you don't recall the date that was written in that document, then kasva, then you should still write the receipt stama, unspecified, that you should not write any date in the receipt, just write the amount of money that was written in the document, write that amount in the receipt. so that the chol emes denafik, so whenever that document is produced that says the same amount of money as this receipt, that lare, that it will then go ahead and the receipt will take care of that debt, and it won't make a difference if the document was written before the receipt or if it was written later, because anyway, it doesn't say the date in the receipt, and therefore that will take care of that document any which way. Which the Rashbam does point out, however, in this case, the lender would have to be careful, however, not to lend to the borrower again that same amount of money which was written in that receipt, because since that receipt doesn't say a date, it will take care of any debt the lender produces, and if he would have lent him that exact amount of money again, he's going to cause a loss, but as long as he's careful, that which is what they write in the receipts takes care of that problem. But the Gemara continues to ask, Omle Ravina L'Rav Ashi, V'amr L'Ad Sam Seh, Rav Ashi L'Rav Kahana, as we continue top of Kaf Ayin Bezim and Aleph, but V'idna D'Loiv Kav Din Hachi, but today we don't even do that. Rather, we write a shtar ma'ocher that's unspecified. We don't write ichrina v'kisvina, that what we're writing is later than what it's being written over here. And we write a receipt at the date of when it's being paid up. And we write the date in the receipt. And we don't write it unspecified. And for some reason, we're still not concerned for the problem of abuse, where then the borrower might be taken advantage of and collected again by the lender from that post-dated date. And that he responded to him, he says, look, Rabbanan tikuni tikini. The rabbis went and instituted safeguards. As we mentioned, so many different options they have to take care of the problems. Manda avid avid, whoever does it, does it. Manda lay avid, whoever doesn't do it, ihuda afsir nafshe. He's causing a loss for himself. Look, we can't, although people don't do it, that's as far as we can do. We institute enough safeguards. If you're telling me people don't practice it, well then they're causing losses to themselves, and they're going to have the problems when the lender then goes ahead and produces this unidentified, unspecified post-dated document, which then he'll say, look, I have a document, I'll be able to collect another time from the borrower.